Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another amazing guest. You might have seen her on TikTok, but she just recently finished up performing as Bomb Ballerina in the City Springs Theater Company regional production of Cats this past May in Atlanta. So welcome, Maggie McCown. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I have been a fan of your, I knew about you because of TikTok, and I've been a fan of yours from before, and then this cast I saw because of Caitlin, who was a former guest of mine. And then all of a sudden I started looking, I'm like, wait a second, there's a lot of people I've talked to, a lot of people I've seen on, you know, theater talk type of thing. And I was super excited because it seems like an unbelievable production that you all got to put on.
Yeah, for sure. That's so funny. So you saw like me posting about A Chorus Line.
A Chorus Line and all kinds of stuff. My TikTok is now like, it's a weird TikTok because it's for the podcast, but it's also only me using it. It's a podcast of one. It's just me.
Right.
So it's got a little mix of like, it's got some of the sports stuff I like all of a sudden thrown in there. The algorithm has picked up the theater stuff and the stuff that I enjoy, but fun to see because there's a lot of like, of the theater talk has a lot of really great content creators. And
yeah.
So it's fun to
really
see the
It's a really cool
stuff.
Community, yeah. Honestly. I've really loved, I kind of started it just because I was bored backstage. Yeah. And now I've really found a lot of amazing people and found this really cool community on TikTok, theater talk.
Yeah, I love it. So let's start at the beginning. You get cast in Cats. How much Cats knowledge did you have going in? When was the first time you saw it?
Yeah, so kind of like a lot of people, I grew up watching the VHS. I distinctly remember like every time I like had to stay home sick from school, my mom would put on the VHS of Cats. I don't know. I guess she's just like, you like dancing. I'll throw this on. Because I remember being like in my parents' bed sick and watching Cats. But other than that, I didn't know any of their names. Even before I auditioned, I was like, who sings McCavity? Like, which cat is, like, I didn't know that. I was like, oh, the white cat is beautiful. But I really didn't have much knowledge about it. I was very, like, I knew everything about A Chorus Line backwards and forwards. But when I would talk to, like, Cats fans, I'd be like, I don't know about that world at all. And now I'm so deep in that world and I love Cats so much. So I can't imagine not knowing about it at all. But yeah, I really didn't have too much of a knowledge about it.
So I love that for me, it was like Tommy Boy and The Price is Right when I was sick and it was, and you got Cats. Yep. So you watched it a bunch, but it was just like almost while you're kind of barely keeping your eyes open sick. So you're not fully following it. Were you more interested in the dance section of it or the story part of it? Like, what was that for you as a kid?
Dancing for sure. I grew up mostly doing ballet. So I loved seeing all the technique and the legs and the athleticism of it all. And like, obviously, like most young girls, it was like, I want to be the white cat. Didn't even know her name. Didn't know like her story or what she signified at all. But I was like, oh, beautiful. And yeah, there wasn't too many shows I watched that it was like the dancers were the leads. Like it was an ensemble based show full of amazing dancers. So I think that was inspiring to me as a young girl. I didn't know what was going on though.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do now. Now you
know. I know too much now.
So, okay. So you had not seen it since the movie to being cast.
Yeah. I saw one regional production of it. And okay. I was like, cool. Like I thought it was good, but I wasn't like dying to be in it.
I love that. So you just like, you walked in, I was like, oh, this is fun. And then you walked out and didn't think about it again.
Yeah.
That was essentially my life. The first time I made a joke about it, and then I didn't think about it again until I made the joke that led to this podcast. And so it's like the same thing. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then you walk out and kind of forget about it. And now it's a huge part of your life.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay. So have you, now that you're in, I want to ask this before we get into your particular production, because I have not seen A Chorus Line because I'm, again, not that knowledgeable theater. You can see all the sports behind me. Everyone talks about the parallels between Cats and The Chorus Line. Do you see it?
I do. And it's interesting working with Bayark Lee on the production. Mm-hmm. She's the reason why I showed up. I was like, Bayark's doing Cats and I'll go wherever Bayark wants me to go. Like I'd follow her to the ends of the earth. And she tells us this story, and they posted this in social media, so I know I'm allowed to share this, but that, when A Chorus Line came out, it was, you know, really revolutionary, again, that same kind of concept of the triple threats, and you're very rigorously trained to be in a chorus line and to do this long dance show. It's kind of a marathon. You're on stage the whole time, right? So after Chorus Line opened, shortly after Cats auditions are coming around, and Jillian wanted all the Chorus Line dancers.
Interesting.
So Bayark and Michael were like, oh, like we trained them. Like, so Bayark, I can't speak for Michael, but Bayark said, I'll never do a production of Cats. Like, she's joking, but she's like, we trained those dancers and then they stole them from us. So she said, I'm never going to do a production of Cats. And then she goes, and here I am. So wow. I guess all these years now. And then she posted a video. I was like, Michael's just laughing at me when we put like cat makeup on her. So yeah, that's been funny seeing that very personal experience with her. As far as the story goes, I see it to a degree, like maybe the concept of like, they're all auditioning, like mm-hmm. We're just meeting or getting to know all of these different characters and they're auditioning for a part, but I don't see that is very clearly the story of A Chorus Line, but I don't see that as much so in Cats. I don't view us as auditioning to be the Jellicle choice. I view it more of a celebration of all these different characters.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know.
It depends on how you look at that aspect of the plot, because you're right that there is the, like, you get introduced. It's, someone called it six as well. It's like, you know, you meet one after one after one after one. But you're right that there is one camp that's more of a like, well, these people aren't even eligible to be the Jellicle choice. And there's other groups that are like, my initial thought was like, this is the X factor.
Right.
What's this version of this? Who's going to be picked? And I just assume anybody who's had a song was a choice.
Right.
And
right.
So it is it depends on how you examine it, which is very interesting.
And there can be some parallels between like Cassie and maybe Grisabella, like singing about give me a second chance. Like maybe their time in the spotlight has come to an end and now they're dying for another chance. So that could kind of be where people see that parallel. And I can see that. I think that could be kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
So now let's fast forward. How did you end up in this particular production? Like, what was the rehearsal process like? What was the like decision to go and take on this challenge?
Yeah. So kind of all goes back to A Chorus Line. I did A Chorus Line about a year ago with Bayark and then worked on the show pretty much for a year. And so I developed that relationship with her. And then when I saw she was doing Cats, so I was like, well, and I'm from Atlanta too. So okay. I live in New York City now, but I'm from Atlanta. So it was like at my home theater, Bayark is doing this iconic dance show. I didn't know which cat I'd be right for, but I knew I wanted to be involved. So I started doing research and really fell in love with the character of Bomb Ballerina. Mm-hmm. I kind of got my heart set on her, which I don't normally do. I normally like to just be like, okay, wherever I end up, it's where I would end up, because I don't want to set myself up for disappointment. But I was like, man, this role is good for me. Like, I love this part. So I submitted virtually, and then I got a call back, but I was actually unable to come. Like, I would have to fly to Atlanta, and they were like, we don't want people, like, flying from out of town. We'll send you tapes if we need them. So they had me read for Demeter and Baum, and I love Demeter, and I've gone into for Demeter before, but I was like, I really love Baum. And yeah, then I was offered the part from the tape, actually, which is pretty rare, but I think because I've been able to work with them so much, they knew my work ethic and what I was capable of. They knew my dancing. So yeah, it was a pretty easy process, actually, which is, again, is very rare. But
yeah. So I love hearing, the thing I love most about regional productions is, and having talked to so many different productions around the world at this point, is I'm fascinated by what you get told as a backstory. And, you know, it's like one thing when you're going on tour or you're going for months, if not years at a time, to have like this long, lengthy rehearsal process, but you're going for 3 to 4 weeks, right, is the run. What I saw you had Jacob Brandt come, like, what was, like, how much into the story do you get versus the dance number and the choreography and the songs? And like what does that balance look like to prep for a show like this?
Yeah, we kind of worked in reverse. Normally you start a show with table work. You sit down and we just discuss and discuss and discuss and look at the text and the characters. And then we put the show up on its feet. But it was such a short rehearsal process, and we only had a limited time with Jacob Brandt, who is just, you've had him on the podcast. He's phenomenal.
He's a legend.
A legend, yeah. So that was just, to be in the room with both Bjork and Jacob was just such a dream. Yeah, so we only had a week with him. So he came in and kind of hit the ground running and was like, let's do the whole ball and as much as the ball we can do in one day. We end up putting up the ball in 2 days. And we did all the original choreography within this 1 week. So that was really, really wild and exhausting, but also really exhilarating and inspiring at the same time, especially learning that choreography from him, who did it with Jillian, was in the room when these this story was kind of being created. So we did table work. We like got in a circle and talked about our characters after we learned most of the show. So that was interesting because the show then, it was set, but then it kind of took on this new life. The day after we went in a circle and we all discussed our, Jacob went around and told us like kind of a basis of who we were. And then a couple days later, we went around and shared our story. Even the kittens shared their story. That's, not been pre-decided. But we all were in charge of creating like this very elaborate backstory for ourselves. And the show then took on this new life, and we had all these new interactions, and I found out this cat is in love with me or this cat hates me, and so it really informed a lot of our decisions. And so much of the show, unlike a chorus line is you get on your number and you move from 3.5 to 4.5 to, with cats there's so many transition moments where we get to decide. Even in the original choreography, we get to decide like our traffic patterns and our interactions, and so that was really cool to add those character choices in.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear the reverse because, one of the things that Jacob's been the first where I'm like, well, I can't really argue against Jacob on like what I've heard from other people. But you hear these different things. And like even recently, I posted a joke on Twitter and somebody, a fan, immediately responded, and it was about Baum and Demeter. And it was like, they were like, they're sisters. I'm like, are they sisters? Because I've heard they're sisters. I've heard they're not. I've heard they're, that they're BFF and everything. So I posted on Instagram and I got about a 50-50 split, but every cast member that I've interviewed was on the not sisters camp, which I thought was interesting. But it's like, there's so many of these things that are open for interpretation and you could play it. But I think a lot of what comes from that is staging and friendships, off stage. And so it's interesting to hear that you started with the staging. So when you had that almost predetermined. I knew where I was going to be and who I was going to be standing next, and obviously who I might be dancing with. Mm-hmm. Did that influence when you wrote your own backstory?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. I want to hear your backstory.
Like, I was like, oh, I hang out with Alonzo a lot. I must be friends with Alonzo. You know, that staging absolutely predetermined some of my character. Okay, my backstory, Bomb's backstory.
Yep.
So what I was told is that I am like best friends with Demeter. We're not sisters as far as I knew. That I had some sort of relationship with McCavity. And I'm very protective of Demeter now. And that I used to be like besties with Grisabella. And that's something I did not know. Mm-hmm. And that I kind of am flirty with Rum Tum Tugger. That's what I was given. Like, this is predetermined. But we really ran with this. Like, we really created these. Like, me and the actor who played Demeter would be on the phone, like, on the car ride home being like, okay, so then I came over. And then McCavity. Like, we had this elaborate story. But the abbreviated version is that Bomb, she's very independent. She doesn't need a title, doesn't need a man. Likes being the cat that's people look up to and find powerful and maybe a little intimidating. And she's like very comfortable with her sexuality and very independent. So about 3 years before the Jellicle Ball takes place, Bomb was being this independent lady when she met McCavity. And we think of McCavity as the scary cat in the fight. But actually from the text, we know he's deceitful and he's suave and what he's outwardly respectable. So we think that form that we see him in the show is not, that's not how you normally see him. That's scary McCavity. But normally he's taking on these disguises and he's really attractive and he's really suave. So he sweeps Bomb off her feet. She's kind of into the bad boy vibe. And then she starts to see that he's involved with crime and kind of running these elaborate cons. And he wants to use her in these cons, like kind of in a shady way. And I don't want to be a part of that. I'm like, I thought you cared about me. I don't want you to use me in your schemes. So I leave him. Around the same time, this is when Grisabella and Monk are together and Gris leaves Monkey Strap. And I decided that McCavity kind of convinces me that him and Grisabella got together. Mm. I think that, I'm not sure if that's true, but he deceives me into thinking that. So then flash forward 3 years later, I've heard the stories about Grisabella now out on the streets, you know, being a cat about town. And I know she's involved with McCavity. And I think, well, here's a cat that I'm strong enough to say, no, I didn't get involved in the shady things he wanted me to do. And she does. She gets involved with him and gets involved in that life of crime and just a shady world. So I think for Bomb, that's why I'm really looking down on her. And I also feel betrayed because as far as I'm concerned, like, she got with my man. Is that,
I love it. No, it's great. I'm trying to piece together because there is a part of me that always thought that Grisabelle could have been Bomb's mom. And that could be part of it. But I like the friend, older sister-ish vibe. Maybe not actual relation, but.
Yeah. Jacob told me that we used to be, at least like, I don't know if we're the exact same age. I think she's a little older than me. Mm-hmm. But that we used to be very good friends. And Demeter's like took her place in my life.
Got it. Yeah. And so, okay, so that makes sense. And so you're like, yeah, she betrayed you. She's also I've heard a little fear that like that could be the path you could go down if you're not careful, but you've stayed away.
Absolutely. And that's the same with Demeter. Like Demeter then, so she's supposed to like kind of tell me in the first act. One time she just looked at, we were trying to decide, like, she's just gotten back from this scary snafu with McCavity. And when does she tell me? When do I find out that she's been with him? Because Something else is that Monkey Strap and I don't speak about him or Grizz. Mm. So that's why I could rationalize, why am I so protective over Demeter? But I'm, you know, ruthless towards Grizzabella, is that Demeter didn't know my past with McCavity. So then when she tells me, I'm like, girl, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so glad you got out. This is what could have happened. And so then Demeter and I are looking at Grizzabella with such different eyes. Me being like, you should have gotten out. You should have known better. And Demeter being like, wow, this could have been me if I had stayed. Wow. In the end, I think we all were victims of McCavity. But kind of have different journeys with the way we like find that forgiveness for ourselves and for him and for each other.
Have you had that moment with your Demeter before you sing the incredibly sexual song about McCavity?
Yes. Okay. Yes. In the first act, she tells me, and one day we were about to do Gumby Cat, and she looks over me and was like, I was kidnapped by McCavity. And I was like, oh, like, I didn't know what to do. And I was like, when the day's up, so like, yeah. I did not know what to do with that information. Yeah. And then finding how we rationalize why McCavity is so sensual is like, I think that duality of he's so bad, but he's so suave and deceitful at the same time. And kind of like that, you know, remembering those days when maybe you got involved with a bad boy. Like I know he was bad for me, but like, wow, he was a charmer. Like,
yeah, there's been a couple people that have basically said that Bomb and Demeter had the same experience, but Bomb liked it and Demeter didn't. Essentially, like, and that's kind of a very dark way, I think, to think about. It's honestly that this is the storyline I have the most trouble with as just like a viewer from the outside, because I'm always like, every time I go see the show, there's kids everywhere. You watch it when you're homesick. And I'm like, the one thing that everyone has said is true is Demeter was sexually abused by McCavity. Like, that's the one truth that we know. And I'm like, how is this art? Like, this is a full storyline. Now, granted, it goes over everyone's head because you don't notice it and most people don't pick up on it. But it's so dark. It's like a very dark piece of this. It
really is. And honestly, in our production, we really didn't want to lean into that too much because it's just a lot for an actor to walk around playing trauma and playing abuse. So we kind of played that both of us were in scenarios where we felt icky and uncomfortable, but we aren't playing the sexual abuse. Yeah. We're playing like, this is what could have happened.
Yeah.
So we don't have to kind of walk around with that. Yeah. And then McCavity feels way grosser when you play it like that. I don't know. To me, it was harder too.
The McCavity song, the line that he's broken every human law, I'm like, that has a lot of things it could be. And that's like, let's just leave that over here.
I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah. If you think about breaking every human law, like I made a joke the other day on Twitter because someone had a cat helmet and I'm like, well, he broke every law. So he was speeding. Like, you know, so it's like, it can be harmless like that, but it also can go the other way.
That's what we were kind of playing. Like our Demeter thinks like he like drugged her at a party and like then try to play that he was like protecting her, was like, oh, some other cat was coming on to you and I just took you away because I'm trying to protect you. Like, I don't know how this like kind of twisted.
Yeah. Did any cast of your castmates come up with something just like way out of left field when you were hearing the stories?
Yes. Our McCavity has this whole story that he is dead.
He's already dead.
He's talking about like necromancy. It was very, it was very interesting. We were all like, I still don't really know what he was getting at, but it was very elaborate about like he has already died. Oh, and that he's ageless. What other stories were there? A lot of them were dark, not dark, just like heavy, like. A lot of cats that came from hard, difficult homes and now feel like they have a sense of belonging in the Jellicle tribe. Like we all brought to the table these like, you know, dark, deep stories. I was like, wow. When people say cats has no plot, I'm like,
you're kind of given that though. Like that is the baseline for a lot of it. Like there's only five, I think, that have collars, which means that most of them are. Like, and it's very cultish. And so like you have a lot, it is, if you like really dig in, a lot of them have these dark backstories to begin with, which is again, why I don't think children should see the show. but it is like a, it's interesting because there's just so much emptiness. Like it's a world that's been created with a few for 100% this happens, or we know these things are building up, and then a lot that's just unsaid that leaves a lot of interpretation, which is where it becomes so interesting and why I still have this podcast going, is because there are a lot of different ways you could answer this question. And there really isn't a right or wrong in most of them, because I think some of the questions I even ask are things that never came up in the beginning. Like it's not stuff that was discussed and like some of it was, I'm sure, discussed in the original production. And I know in 2016, they thought about stuff. Hearing you all come up with your own like circle of stories, like you are creating this, but there isn't necessarily a right or wrong answer to most of it. Like there is some kind of gray area that this world has built, which is what makes it, I think, unique. And I think it's why there's so many fans, like a very diverse set of fans to the show, because there's probably something in you or yourself that you can see in one of the characters or part of the plot that allows you to relate to it.
Right. Like I saw on some fan page that there's a theory that Baum is Dick Whittington's cat, because I sing the line about, "Were you Whittington's friend?" And I was just like, who is at home being like, I wonder. And then Gus sings about Dick Whittington, understudying Dick Whittington's cat. So everyone looks at me during that moment. I'm always like,
yeah,
it's just crazy. And honestly, endless backstories or who's related to who. Like we've all created these interesting relations. It's really fascinating. I totally get why people go down these rabbit holes theorizing.
Yeah. Is there any relationships that your cast created that maybe would be different? What I love is there's a group of people that are, especially with the original production, where they're like, this is the way it is and nobody can tell me otherwise. And there's people like me who are like, yeah, of course they could be together. Like I could sell you on why this person and this, like I had a love triangle between Grizabella, Jelly and Buster for Jones. And everyone's like, wait, what? So I think it's open, but what did you all create?
There really are so many. I can mostly just remember my own. Pouncival is like in love with me. That's sweet. He's like, oh, like, hey. And I just like, I mean, he's a child to me. I'm like, hi. Like, so like after I get rejected by Tucker, he's like, I'll be with you.
Yeah.
So that's cute. And then there's also theories that I'm Stella Bub's mother. And we're not quite sure who the father is. Could be Rum Tum Tugger, but our Tugger is like, no, I'm not the dad, so we're not quite sure. I'm trying to think. Jelly Lorem and Skimble Shanks are kind of a thing in our production.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't think of any others off the top of my head, but we are that the theory that Victoria is Grizabella's mother. Or Grizabella is, yes, Grizabella
is. That's another very 50-50 thing.
Interesting. Or that, you know, who are the children of Deuteronomy? Are we all the children of Deuteronomy? Or is it just...
Well, we said 99 wives.
99 wives, I know.
So there's a good chance there. Again, it's just very open. I've had people send me what their version of the family tree is. I've attempted to build one myself, and it's impossible.
So much. I know.
And then, you know, it goes back to what Andrew Lerber said, which is they're just cats, and cats just frolic around, and which means that they're probably a lot together a lot, which is, and, you know, you have a celebration of that with a ball.
Yep. Absolutely. In the end, we're just cats.
One thing I did want to ask about is I did hear a couple people use this podcast to like hear some how other people approach their characters. Is that true?
Oh, listening to the podcast?
Yeah.
I listened to a couple episodes. I was like, I want to hear what other bombs or other people have said about their characters. Yeah.
That's wild to me. I love hearing theories.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? For sure.
That's so cool. I mean, it's cool for me because it's like always been my joke of like, all right, I'm ready to direct one. And then it's like, no, you have Jacob Brent coming. Like you have someone who really knows what they're doing. But it's been fun to hear that like people like are using this to hear how other people have interpreted their cat, which is what's so fun about this is that it's like basically a record of at least their thought process from it.
Well, it's so fascinating when you meet someone else who's as passionate about cats as you are. because so many people don't get it. They're like, oh, it's cool. That's awesome. Like, there's such, the dancing was so great. And that's all that they're like, the dancing and singing was awesome. They don't see anything else. But when you meet other people that are like, so which cat do you think? Like, you get to theorize about these things. That's so exciting. So I think this podcast gives you, you know, an opportunity to get into other people's brains who are just as passionate about it as you are.
Yeah, it's fun for me because, like, I, you know, I live in New York and this is not my full-time job. I watch a lot of sports. Like, this, I don't live in the theater world besides being part of this podcast network and attending, like, and going. I can't dance. I can't sing. And I didn't grow up. I played one thing in my entire life as a kid growing up because I played very high-level travel hockey. So I was, like, never in the shows as a kid. Like, I lived the opposite life. And now I'm in this place where I kind of, like, if someone, it doesn't come up, like, right away. I'm not like, let me tell you about my podcast type of thing. But every once in a while, someone's like, yeah, I just saw Cats. And I'm like, yeah. What'd you think? And then it's like a very strange, weird, like, I know a whole lot about it for a very, very, very weird reason. And it becomes fascinating when you get somebody who is in that world and that thought process. Right. It's like, oh no, I grew up with it. I love it. I knew it. And the, like, I know the plot, and that's mostly it. I know the plot and the backstories in the world and not the choreography and the original and the differences and all that stuff. Yeah. And, but it's fun to be, it's fun to meet the people and talk to so many different people who have done it because there's so many versions of this over the years. And there's been some productions I like wish I could go back in time and see or just hear.
Me too.
And now it's like, no, that was, you know, it was like a moment in time.
We're going to take a quick break for some messages from our sponsors, and then we'll be back for more of The Wrong Cat Died.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Let's talk about Cats TikTok and Theater TikTok.
Okay.
Because I've seen a lot of what you've done. I keep reposting all of them. I firmly believe that everyone in doing a Cats production has the best built-in content creation possible because you can do transitions. You've got like these weird, unique type of things that's very eye-catching. And so it's like, I just love that you have this platform and got the opportunity to kind of go and take this very strange, weird thing and kind of bring it to the TikTok world where it's like built for it.
So I initially got involved with posting on TikTok because I was a fully offstage swing in a Chorus Line, had a very small role and a lot of time to kill. So I was like, this is a great time to start making content backstage. I had all this time on my hand, all these actors, you know, readily available to me. And I kind of fell into this theater TikTok world and really enjoyed it, actually. So now posting with Cats, I've been like, oh, I have all this content to post about and these backstories, but I don't have nearly as much time because I'm on stage the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's it's easier because I have all this all these backstories we've been talking about and inside jokes almost. Mm-hmm. I always, when I post like a TikTok about that has some cat inside joke, I'm like, I know this might not do super well on TikTok, but I know the people that get it are going to think it's really funny.
Yeah. It'll reach the right audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Might not go viral, but you know, it's gonna, the people that get it. So it's really, really fun, but it's also hard because I finished the show, or, you know, I have to spend an hour plus getting into costume and then thoroughly warming up. And then we're, you know, we're ripping off like our, the wig is really elaborate and the makeup is really elaborate. Everything, we're all like using coconut oil to get our faces off really quickly. So I'm like, wait, before you use that coconut oil on your face, could I get a video of you saying this goofy thing? So it's been really, really fun, but also posed a challenge because it's, you know, such a difficult show.
Yeah, I saw, so I got to hang out with the US tour number six, the one that's like, that's currently on tour,
yeah,
before their show, before one of them, because we did stuff, you know, for video. And I was like, oh, I want to do this all in costume if they can. And it's like the leading up to it, it's like once you get in costume, it's like stretch, warm up, get ready to go, and then go on stage. Like there's not a lot of time, but
yes,
I think you have an opportunity if you can just get a couple people to go on to start your makeup like 10 minutes earlier.
Right.
The transitions that you can do,
right,
and TikTok thrives on those, of starting just in normal clothes and then doing the whatever you cover, mm-hmm, your camera with, to then all of a sudden be in full cat, is just such good content
that
most people don't get the chance to do. So
I'm encouraging
you to do those while you still, I know you still have a little time left. I know this is coming out way after, but hopefully we see some of these. I want you to do that. And then all the dance trends in cat costume, just people notice them, are so much more fun.
Yeah, you're so right. They're hilarious. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
The costumes are so eye-catching. The wigs and the makeup. And what's been really funny with the wigs and the makeup is going out to dinner on our two show days in between. I know I posted a TikTok about this. Like, we're not gonna redo our whole face in between shows. So we'll go out to a restaurant and just be in full cat makeup. And one day we went out and this mother and daughter were looking at us and the mom went, scary, right?
Yeah.
she didn't acknowledge us and say anything, just scary, right?
I just love the fact that like it, I think it's well, like it's a little different living here in New York than like I'm from Indiana, from Atlanta. Like it's not like, I feel like if I walked out, I would, now I know, but if you would have done this 10 years ago and I would have walked in and saw a bunch of people in cat costume, I'd been like, is there a furry convention going on? Like, I'm not sure it would have registered musical right away of that, because I didn't grow up watching the 1998 movie to be like, oh, that's Mistopheles. Like,
apparently there was a furry convention like our opening weekend.
at the same someone time is, in Atlanta,
yes. Someone is like, they're just gonna assume that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
like, and we're all like, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. I was at a conference for work one time, and we had the same hotel as one of those conventions, and it was the first day just jarring because I got in an elevator and I was not prepared to be with people in full costume, and then by the second day I'm just like, yeah, whatever. This is their thing. Like, they were nice and like they were super polite and I was just like, that's fine. More power to you. If it's as long as you're, you know, just, it's been on work conferences. I'm just like, as long as you're quiet and not, you know, causing too much trouble while we're just trying to do what we have to do there for work. I was like,
right.
More power.
It's just funny. We're like, yeah, we're actually professional dancers and this is our job, but
yeah,
we're just playing dress up. Right.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I love it. Okay. Let's do some rapid fire.
Great.
If you could go on, I know you said that Bomb Ballerina was like a dream role, but if you could go on for any single cat, whether it's male, female, whether it's in your vocal range, not your vocal range, just for one night, who would you want to perform as?
Ooh, Grisabella.
Go on as Grisabella?
Just to be on the princess track of sit backstage.
You're 15 minutes on stage.
And you don't have to wear a unitard, like skin tight. You just get to wear a cloak and then you get the loudest applause of everyone. So, probably Gris.
Okay. Who are your favorite and least favorite cats?
Ooh. Well, having said that, honestly, Grisabella is one of my least favorite cats.
That's great for my last question.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I know you're going to ask me, and I'm really dreading the question, but I think Gris is a little manipulative, at least in our production. She's admitted that she like shows up late. She's very dramatic. She falls to the ground and obviously for, you know, personal bond reasons, she's betrayed me. So I don't love Gris. I don't, I used to not like Jenny. I used to think she's kind of a lot, but she's like, she's kind of one of those friends that you're like, whoa, you're a lot, but I just love and accept you anyway. For Jenny. Oh, weirdly, I'm not good friends with the twins, Baum and the twins. I guess I'm answering for Baum right now.
It's fun to hear your answers. And I was going to say that it seems like you're answering as like so much of your own personal opinions have been shaped by the character you got to play.
Sure.
And I think some of that is because you didn't have the deep like ties to all the backstories growing up watching it. And that, so you had like a preconceived notion of so many. It's more of like, you've only viewed this from the lens of Baum Ballerina.
Yeah.
And so all your answers are just like, well, of course I don't like her. Of course, Grisma betrayed me. Like you are answering as her. So I'm assuming on the flip side, then your love is probably like a Demeter. And
yeah.
Is there any other characters that like, maybe that's one that you don't interact with as much. So you're just like, I kind of dig that person.
I don't interact with Mephistopheles, but obviously Harry Francis plays it in our production. And he's just wonderful. Just a wonderful human off stage as well. And obviously, you know, just breathtaking on stage. It's kind of unbelievable. It's my favorite moment of the show is I just sit on the little cat tree on the side and watch him. And I always... That's my favorite moment of the show. It's just, I'm like, wow, this is like, it just feels like very, very high quality theater when I'm getting to watch him do the number. He's so phenomenal. So
what's your favorite song? Stop, please. What's your favorite song in the show?
My Cavity.
I know. Okay. I'd be criticizing being like, oh, of course you do. But that's my favorite song in the show right now too.
So. Really? Okay, good. Good.
I think when I first saw it, it was Mungo Jerry and Rumpel Teaser just because it was stuck in my head. I've now had the realization that the reason that I like that song so much is because I've noticed that for myself as someone who like, I got overwhelmed seeing so much happening at once. Like I'm very much a sitcom plot fan where it's like, it's very easy to follow, very simple. I don't have to think that much. And I got to Cats and was like, what is going on? There's so much. And the only time that's not happening is Mungo Jerry and Rumpel Teaser.
Right.
And so it's like, that was my favorite number. And I'm like, oh, that probably says a lot about me as a person. Of like, that was the moment where I could just focus on just the two of them.
Right.
But as I watched Macavity, it's kind of the same way. And I just think the music's so great. Like the song is just so fun. So it's the
orchestra and just, it's so good. I love it. Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts on this one, but I want to hear what comes to your mind. But which cat do you think would be the best on TikTok? Like if they were a TikTok influencer?
Oh, wow. I've never thought of this.
I have lots of answers for this. So I'm ready.
Interesting. Okay, I think Skimbleshanks would be good at treating it like a business. Posting at the correct time. I'm so not like that. I just post whenever I feel like it. I can't do all like the research of the right time to post or when, you know. So I think Skimbleshanks would be good at the business side. I think I think the kittens would be good, like, et cetera, because they're young and hip and cool at the times.
I'm surprised you haven't said you. Baum Ballerina. I think she would be dancing and, like, dancing up a storm, doing all the different trends. Baum and Tugger were my first two original answers.
Oh, yeah, Tugger. Duh. Because every Tugger on TikTok does amazing. Like, Rum-Tum Tugger TikTok is a thing.
But I think where this gets interesting, if you start thinking about, I wouldn't say they're niche, but like the ones that are very specific to a type of like content, I think Buster Jones is cooking.
Yeah.
I think there's probably somebody. Yeah. Someone's on the book talk. Like Jelly Lorm is probably like an avid reader and is on the book talk. Like I think there's a couple of these like, Victoria's probably doing some stuff dancing too. Like there's some like niche, but interesting. Yeah. Okay, I think you go in there.
I see it. I definitely see it. Yeah.
Like Mephistopheles would be great at it too.
You're so right.
Okay. I know you don't want to answer this question, but I got to ask you now. I want you to either defend your least favorite cat or I want you to pick who you would choose as your jokeable choice and why.
So I initially was very much the wrong cat died. I was like, wow, this is so unfair to Gus. Grizz is kind of manipulative and I don't like her. And like I've heard you say, like, why can't she just join rejoin the tribe? Mm-hmm. Like, why can't we just accept her? Honestly, wouldn't that be more powerful? And amongst the cast, a lot of people say, like, we just need to get rid of her. Just like, yeah. She just causing drama. We just need to get rid of her. But I was very much like, Gus should be the choice. Or it's like, Gus was robbed. And talking to Jacob, and the longer I've done the production, I now think it's got to be Grizz. And a turning factor for me was that, at least in our production, we're playing that she's going to die. So if she doesn't go this year, she can never go. Like, we're playing that she has, like, some kitty disease, like kitty, like, STI or something like that. And she looks bad. She looks like she's going to die, you know?
Yeah. That ruins my criteria. So, like, that ruins my current argument, which is if she's not going to make it to next year, then it does become different. Let me ask you this question then. And maybe I'm curious if your cast even talked about this, but does Old Deuteronomy make the same criteria every year? Like, is he making, like, what? It's a strange version of this because you've got somebody returning that left. Like, you probably don't have somebody returning that left every year. It's like, how's last year's choice made? How's next year's choice made?
I don't know. I think normally it's probably seniority. Mm-hmm. It's the older cats, the cats who have done their time and paid back to the community. So I assume, you know, Jenny Annie Dots in a couple years could be a strong candidate. She's older and done a lot for the community. I feel like it's seniority. Bustopher Jones. Well, Bustopher's a little bit like, he's not super loyal to our tribe. Yeah. He kind of travels around. But that it's not the most talented cat. It's Mistopheles has got, he's not going anytime soon. Like, he's young. I think it's seniority normally. And that's why this year is different, because I think Grizz is not old, at least in our production. She's around Baum and Demeter's age. Mm-hmm. And I also think that's what makes the end so powerful, is that she doesn't deserve it. It's this moment of redemption that she didn't earn it, but that we know she needs it the most. And they also made a really big point to have Gus give her permission.
Interesting.
Yes. So our Gus, it's actually probably one of the funniest moments of the show, is that during right before Memory, the daylight, see that, when Syllabub's singing her so low, our Gus crawls out from the back of a tunnel that we have, like, army crawls. And if you can't see it from the audience, but all of us can see it. So we're like watching Syllabub, or we're watching Gus like crawl out. It's really so funny, because he's not with Jelly Lorum at the time. So he's playing that he can't walk without someone. And he sits right next to me. All of Memory, he's like shaking and reaching out to her. And he's also one of the first people to go out after Victoria touches her, being like, I'm giving you permission. It should be you. And Gus got to live out his dreams as a famous actor. And Grizabella never got that chance. So she's going to come back and get that life that she always wanted. Whereas Gus is like, I lived a good life. I'm okay. You can have it.
So. Yeah, there is a moment in the 1998 movie where he goes from his back turned to all of a sudden like, okay, and then reaches out. And so I do think there is like supposed to be that moment of where he's accepted that he's no longer the choice. Because I think there's a lot of belief that he was the choice. And that is an integral part for us to believe that Grizabella is worthy. I kind of love that. It's like you were fully on board here, and then good old Jacob Brandt had to go in and try to convince you.
I know.
So that way you can play it correctly on stage that Grizabella's the right choice. And that's what I'm going on. I'm going to send him a message and be like, Jacob, you got to stop convincing people against my podcast.
I know.
But at the same time, like when you're producing and when he's doing what he's doing and coming in and helping it's like, well, you've got to all play it because otherwise it's weird. Like it right. wouldn't work if you all went on stage and were just like, nope, we don't want to send her, but like, go ahead to that.
Right.
Like,
right.
So you've got to convince yourself to do it for that moment. But
maybe my mind will change when I'm not playing the role, but
over time. Yeah. Being... Over time, we're going to get you on either team Gus or team somebody else. That's the goal here is I'm slowly trying to convince everybody. I actually, right now, I was just looking this morning. It's pretty close to 50-50 of like Gus and Griswold are pretty much most of the votes. But Griswold does not have half the votes, which is pretty wild when you think about I've done 120 plus episodes of this, multiple guests, like there's a lot of votes and she doesn't even win half the time of this. And so it's like, that's kind of crazy because that is the story. Like she is the answer. Like it's definitive. It's the way it ends. It's not changing for 40 something years. But I think I like to think at first I was like, oh, it's definitely me. I'm causing the strife here. I'm trying to move in. But I'm like, no, it can't be because this hasn't changed. Like the order's been 50-50 from the beginning before I even started.
I think it's also the theme to me. If someone says, what is Cats about? It's about redemption and forgiveness.
Yeah.
So, and it's about, you know, she didn't deserve it. She didn't earn it. She wasn't the most talented cat and she didn't, you know, give to the didn't give to the tribe the most. She actually gave to the tribe the least. And it's the tribe saying like, who are we going to be moving forward? So a big turning point for me is that like I'm the first time she comes out, I'm very like, don't touch her. I'm very, you know, influential in the group. I'm telling the kittens, you know, I'm telling them how to feel. They don't know who she is. And I think my turning moment in the end is this the legacy I want to leave? Like, I look at the kittens wanting to touch her and I'm like, do I want to teach them to hate? So I think that's why we need to turn around the Jellicle tribe. And it has less to do with that Gus deserves it less and more just that Old Deuteronomy sings about our character in the end. So it's, we're deciding what is our character.
So I agree with every single thing you said, except for that she has a disease that's going to kill her. Cause I think like you still have the same story if she gets accepted back and you just send somebody else up, but it's, you know, it's open for interpretation.
Yeah.
This has been so fun. How can everyone stay in touch with you on social media and see the amazing TikToks and everything else you're doing and working on?
Yeah. So my Instagram is Maggie_McCown and my TikTok is XOXO Maggie Mick. So yeah, come find me.
We will put that in the description so people can find it. And thank you so much for sharing about your production and your experience and all you've had doing this show.
Yeah, this has been so much fun. I love talking about this stuff. So I'm so thankful to have gotten to chat with you today.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And thanks everyone else for listening to this episode of The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the cat catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else to listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The Wrong Cat Died, or check out our website, thewrongcatdied.com.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.